Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has justified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him run to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, Ten Commandments, the Sixth Commandment. Read with me. You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We shall fear and love God so that we lead sexual pure and peaceful life in what we say and do. And husband and wife love and honor each other. The epistle reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand. This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' and they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We make bold confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and you may be seated. I'd like the children to come up and gather up front with me, if you would, please. Good morning. Good morning. Would you guys like to sit there? You can sit there on the kneelers if you like. Make yourselves comfortable. There you go. So, I got a couple questions for you to start off here this morning. Been thinking about building a new house, building a house, okay? So, I can purchase some land pretty cheap that's all sand. It's all sand. What do you guys think about me building a house on sand? What do you think about that? What? It would slide. Yeah, sure. The house could shift and move around and all that kind of stuff, right? Can you think of other places that might not be so great for building a house? Anybody else give me an example? Sometimes on a mountain, it depends, right? Yeah. How about on the side of a volcano? Probably not a good place to build a house, right? Because then I got to worry about volcano erupting and lava and all that other kind of stuff, right? Now what about, look at what I brought with me this morning. I just got a couple of stones out of the side of my house. So how about if I were to build a house on a rock? What do you guys think about that? You think that's a pretty good place to build a house? Yeah? Why do you think that's a good place? What do you think? Rock's not going to move, right? If the whole ground's made of rock, it's really not going to shift that much. It's a good foundation to build upon, right? So in the Bible, there's a word that we hear today, and it's cornerstone, and Jesus talks about, and we hear Peter and others talk about how Jesus calls him, also calls himself a rock upon which we stand, okay, and on which we build our faith. And that rock is Jesus, and Jesus dying on the sins for you, but he just didn't stop there. He rose again, and because of that, because he is the foundation of our faith, he's our rock, then we get to stand on him being firm, and we know that Jesus has died for us, and he loves us. He loved us that much. So you'll hear this today, too, that we're going to talk about some rocks and stones some more, too, when I talk about this in the sermon a little bit more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are our rock that we stand upon, and you are the builder of our faith. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. All right, thank you. We continue with our hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Have you thought recently about cornerstones? Have you thought recently about the foundation of your home? So a cornerstone in a building serves three purposes. It's for building orientation, for history, and celebration. When we talk about orientation, it has to do with the way that the structure will actually face. Careful measurements were taken to ensure the cornerstone was completely square, to ensure the proper alignment of the remainder of the building, that the walls are set properly. While other stones like a keystone or a capstone are important, these are not nearly as important as the cornerstone. The laying of the cornerstone in ancient times was a time of great celebration. The cornerstone was usually placed in the northeast corner because it was believed that this orientation then of the building would bring harmony and peace for its inhabitants. A cornerstone's purpose is also for history. Many times you can find out a great deal about a building by examining the cornerstone. Today, many of these stones are hollowed out and items are put in them and sealed to create a time capsule. It's also important that we select the proper foundation to build upon. I happen to have a neighbor whose foundation on his home began shifting as it was built over some backfill, he found out. He noticed cracks in the foundation and walls as his home began to shift. The doors wouldn't close properly. Even more tragic right here in our community. We've seen this right over there in Hideaway Hills as these homes that were built over the top of a gypsum mine, a cave. And we know how this has affected folks right here in our community and in our church. Today, in the first stanza of our sermon hymn, we sang these words: Christ is our cornerstone. On him alone we build. With his true saints alone, the courts of heaven are filled. On his great love our hopes we place, of present grace and joys above. From the prophet Isaiah we hear these words: Therefore thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. In the temple, Jesus tells two parables. They are clearly directed at the chief priests and some of these other elites that we see here. Being rather direct, he tells them in the parable of the two sons that tax collectors and prostitutes would go into the kingdom ahead of them, for they had rejected John the Baptist. They had rejected the Son of God. In our text today, Jesus tells the story of how these renters treat the master and his servants. When the time came for him to collect his harvest, he sends his servants. We find that they beat one, they killed another, and stoned another. He sends another group larger than the first, and they treat them the same way. Finally, the master sends his son, thinking, He is my son. Surely they will listen to him. Instead, they kill him too. Appalled then, these religious leaders immediately identify how wretched these renters were in this story, for they tell Jesus that they should be sent to a miserable death and he should let out the vineyard to others who would give him the fruits of their seasons. The tragedy here is that they cannot see that Jesus is talking about them. So blinded by their self-righteousness and adherence to every dot and dash of the law, they know how to cast judgment on others. And Jesus really confounds them when he asks them the question, Have you never read in the scriptures? He hits them right between the eyes with this reality. He says, The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Jesus reminds these scholars that he is the cornerstone upon which faith is built. He is the entry point into God's reign. Jesus, the cornerstone, joins together two walls, the walls of the Old Testament and his kingdom, the New Testament. He joins the old and the new, thus fulfilling the prophecies of old that the Messiah would come to redeem the world from sin. This stone was laid at the foundation of the world. This stone, this precious stone, is the one by which you and I have been crushed. The same stone of which Daniel speaks. He says to King Nebuchadnezzar, "The stone that struck the idol became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The stone that would crush princes, rulers, principalities, confound the authority of all men. The same stone that Peter said has become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Paul further tells the Corinthians, "Christ crucified, he is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Dear saints, God is with us. This is not folly to us, but as St. Paul says, to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We could say that the irony here is that Jesus needed to die. He came to die on the cross for the sins of the entire world because he needed to die at the hands of these men that he describes in this parable. The cornerstone would thus be laid. We need to be clear that, though, that this story is not simply about the time of the Jews being over and the time of the Gentiles beginning. Jesus has not rejected these leaders. No, on the other hand, they are the ones who have rejected him. For we know that many Jews came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. We see this in Acts, the epistles, for example, the indictment. The charge doesn't come to bear squarely upon these Jews because we are all guilty. We are guilty because Jesus bore upon himself my sins and your sins. Since Adam's fall, we have been infected with this virus of sin, which on most days only directs our thoughts and actions away from God. We find our feet setting on anything else but the sure foundation, Christ the cornerstone. As another one of our hymns reminds us, all other ground is sinking sand. We're no different than these elite. We are guilty as charged. We too, in our sinful nature, rejected God's only Son and thought that we had put him to death by casting him out of the vineyard, just like these tenants. Here's the part, though, that we have a difficult time wrapping our heads around. This idea that Jesus allows himself to go to the cross. He obeys the Father unto death. This parable today is a snapshot of the very gospel that God sent his Son into the world to suffer and die and to rise again. Thus, these religious leaders were playing their part in the great story of God's redemption. That's how much he loves us. And they still had the opportunity to repent and come to faith. Surely this idea of stones also brings to mind imagery of the tables of the commandments, the law. For we know that when we reject Christ, the full weight of the law comes bearing down upon us. Another irony, that the very teachers and scholars of the law would be brought down and judged by the very scriptures they read. But here's the beauty of what Christ has done for you and for me. You and I were separated from God because of sin. The full weight of the law of stone comes bearing down upon us. The Father knew that you and I are incapable of following this law perfectly. So he sent his Son to die in our place. But it didn't end there, because he rose again. And it is because of this that you and I have new life, as our sins hung there on the cross with Christ. If we died with him, so we shall also rise with him in newness of life. In the waters of baptism, we have been washed clean and declared righteous in the sight of God. No longer are we condemned. Rather, we are pardoned and freed to live and walk in this baptismal life because of Jesus, the rock, the cornerstone, and founder of our faith. Jesus did this for you and for me. He is the Paschal Lamb who was willing to go to the cross, fulfilling the will of the Father. We now have peace with God. No longer crushed under the weight of the stone. Our hope and trust is in the cornerstone, Christ himself. The very same one that we had rejected, but now that have been called by his gospel and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, we continue to stand upon so firm a foundation. Today, you have been forgiven your sins. Today, when you come to the table here to receive his very body and blood, be confident that Christ has risen victorious for you. This is Jesus for you, the very cornerstone, the author and finisher of your faith. And here it is that you receive this sweet medicine that will once again sustain you in body and soul to live in this fallen world as you once again walk out those doors and you walk on solid ground. In the name of Jesus, amen.